You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Over the past months, individuals on Wall Street have been indicted on charges of lying, cheating, and fraud. But deception is not only on Wall Street. A subcommittee of the United States Congress estimated that last year, one out of every three Americans that was hired for a job had used a resume that was not totally honest. Even more surprising is a study recently published accusing 47 scientists at Harvard and Emory University Medical Schools of producing misleading papers. And so we must ask the question, is lying and cheating worse today than it was 10 or 20 years ago? This is difficult to say, of course. However, the founder of One Citizens Lobby states that, in his opinion, deception and lying in public and private is now much greater than it has been in the past. Why has this happened? Psychologists, sociologists, and others, in their frustration to explain this social trend, are now offering a wide variety of opinions. The president of one of the best-known universities in the United States, however, offers his own candid and blunt explanation. This veteran observer of society simply states that the increase in lying and deception can be traced to a breakdown of traditional supports for moral teaching, a breakdown in religion and in the family. Now, in the minds of some, what is today right and wrong is all too often determined by what is popular and socially acceptable. History, however, shows that this self-serving attitude has the power to destroy individuals, to wreck marriages, to corrupt corporations, and even, eventually, ruin entire nations. In a hard-hitting editorial, the Wall Street Journal stated, quite bluntly, that even societies which refuse to be considered Christian still need a code of morality and honesty in order to continue to exist. Is lying and dishonesty, then, something new in our generation? Definitely not. Centuries ago, a writer in the Bible, the psalmist, lamented the ungodly men who, and I quote, speak falsehood to one another, those who speak with flattering lips and a double heart. Indeed, without the trustworthy and unchanging words of our gracious God, one could well become today cynical, discouraged, and even despairing of our present generation. In the midst of Wall Street scandals, government misinformation, media manipulation of the truth, and individual deception, the psalmist reminds us that in all of this, the words of the Lord remain pure. They are, the psalmist explains, like silver tried in a furnace on the earth, refined seven times over. No wonder the biblical writer consoles himself and us with the inspired promise that the Lord will always keep His word. He never lies. His mercy and His grace is from everlasting to everlasting. This biblical promise can also be the solid basis of hope for you today. And as you honestly evaluate your recent past, feelings of guilt over your sins of lying may pierce your conscience. Have you been totally honest with your marriage partner, especially when you express how you feel? What about your attitude at work? Do you hold high the virtue of honesty, always attempting to speak with integrity to your boss and fellow workers? And when you complete your income tax forms, do you do your best to be honest, or do you do your best to illegally sidestep your taxes? And you children who are listening, are you honest to your parents, especially when you tell them where you are going when you leave the house? Oh, the accusations of your conscience and mine over past dishonesties can harass our lives and strangle the joys of our heart. And so instead of permitting this, sincerely confess your failures to your merciful Redeemer. For it was for your sins of lying and for your other transgressions that the Savior's hands were pierced through with cold nails on the wooden cross. It was also for your sins of white lies and mine that the Savior suffered, that he bled, and that he died. Through the scourging of the blessed Redeemer, you and I are healed from the terrible sin of lying. Let your black slate, then, that record of past lying and deception, let it be washed off and be totally renewed. In the Savior's cleansing blood, God is inviting you to start over. It is his gracious desire that from this hour onward, you follow no more the popular trends of random dishonesty and socially acceptable white lying. Instead, stand up for the truth. Be fearless and immovable when the devil comes to tempt and to sway you into a life of white lies, half-truths, and all types of deception. And for this new start in your life, you will need more than mere religious commitment or a surge of religious feelings. This will require of you a whole new Christ-centered attitude called repentance. Repentance, you see, means sorrow for sin. Repentance means to change one's entire attitude and to give up the drive to serve oneself, and then to embrace also instead a new desire to serve the resurrected Lord Jesus. Repentance means to give up all feelings of phony self-righteousness and to trust instead only and alone in the perfect and pure righteousness of the crucified and resurrected Savior. This is the only answer to the constant tendency to lie and to deceive. Our old selves must be crucified. They must be emptied out of brackish and filthy ideas of deception. Only then can we be filled with the true mind of the living Christ. Oh yes, what a temptation to tell those little seemingly harmless white lies. What a temptation this is. Satan is very, very clever, isn't he? He knows that white lies are just as bad, and oftentimes even much worse, than the big, bad black lies. This is true because one little white lie eventually almost always leads to another worse lie. It would be nice if there would be band-aids to wear, wouldn't it? Or pills to take, or injections to receive at the doctor, in order to help us stave off the countless demons of deception, which are every hour tempting us not to tell the truth. For peace of conscience and assurance of the troubled heart, you and I have only one thing that is totally trustworthy and absolutely reliable. This is the Word of God and the promises of God. In the Bible, in 1 John, we read, "Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world." And so, my friend, when push comes to shove in the Christian life, the bottom line is simply this. The power of the crucified and resurrected Lord Jesus Christ is much greater than the power of the evil one, the devil, that one whom Jesus has crushed and defeated on the cross. Oh, how often this life-strengthening promise is renewed in our hearts as we read the sacred scriptures and as we learn about the beautiful Savior. Jesus was born in a simple manger, and at the approximate age of 30, Jesus was publicly baptized. It was at this event that the Savior, out of perfect and selfless love, took up the task of redeeming you and me from our sin, including all our sins of lying. It was also at this point that our Father, filled with joy, was pleased to break open the heavens and announce, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." From that day on, then, as Jesus headed for the cross, and as he determined to give his life as a ransom for sin and to crush the head of the devil for your salvation, the blessed Redeemer was daily, yes, even hourly, tempted by the evil one to take a detour and to avoid the cross. Jesus adamantly refused to do this. Instead, he went straight to the execution at Calvary. And Jesus said, "No man takes my life from me, I lay it down." On Good Friday, Jesus demonstrated publicly his power over the devil. On Easter morning, Jesus rose victoriously from the dead. And in this Easter victory, the blessed Savior demonstrated again for all times his absolute superiority over Satan, the father of all lies. The head of the father of all lies was crushed on the cross. And so, my friend, if it is your honest and sincere wish to be no more chained to a hellish life of white lies and deception, then flee today to the liberating arms of your Savior. Turn in repentance and by simple and sincere faith embrace Jesus. Follow Him. Learn all that you can about Him, what He has done for you, how He has died for you, and how He will return someday to take you with Him. Live in the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, and let Him live in you. A new life can be yours today. The disharmony caused by lying in your life and in your family can be discarded. The joy which results in Christ-centered honesty and godly integrity can be the cornerstone of your new existence. Oh, your future does not depend on more outward religion. It does not depend on a greater determination for self-righteousness. Instead, my friend, the joy of your life and your family depends solely and only on the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. It depends, yes, it depends on the Savior's atoning death and the victorious Easter resurrection. Now, I know, of course, that not everyone is concerned about lying. Some people feel it is all part of life, something that we must accept. These individuals, of course, reflect the attitude of those in our text for today who say, "With our tongue we will prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us?" Now, every time we are tempted to harbor this type of arrogance and ungodly attitude, let us always recall the dramatic, biblical, and stunning account of Ananias and Sapphira. Members of the early church made great sacrifice to help all those who were in need. The Bible states, all who were owners of land or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each as they had need. We read in the book of Acts chapter 5, however, a certain man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property and kept back some of the price for himself with his wife's full knowledge, and bringing a portion of it, he laid it at the apostles' feet. Peter then said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it then that you have conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men," Peter said, "but to God." And then as Ananias heard these words, he fell down and breathed his last, he died. And great fear, the Bible says, came upon all those who heard of this. Young men arose and covered Ananias up. They carried him out, and they buried him. Now, the Bible tells us that there elapsed an interval of about 3 hours, and Ananias' wife Sapphira came in. She did not know what had taken place. Peter looked at her and said, "Tell me whether you sold the land for such and such a price." She said, "Yes, that was the price." Then Peter said to her, "Why is it that you have agreed together to put the Spirit of the Lord to the test? Behold," Peter said, "the feet of those who have buried your husband are already at the door, and they shall carry you out as well." And the Bible tells us that Sapphira immediately fell at Peter's feet. She breathed her last, and she died. Then the young men came in again, and they found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. The Bible tells us, great fear came upon the whole church and upon all those who heard of these things. Oh yes, even today, as we hear from the Bible about the anger that God has toward the sin of lying, a great godly fear should come upon all of us. Indeed, there are those today who remain unrepentant in their lying. They will arrogantly say, "Look, I have lied often, but nothing happens to me." Yet let no one be misled. On the day of judgment, all unrepentant liars shall be truly exposed in their sin, and their punishment will be the same as that of Ananias and Sapphira. And in this case, death shall be eternal. In fact, in the book of Revelation we read, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. For this reason, then, let us never make light of lying. Let us never say it doesn't make any difference. And may God empower us to flee this utterly wicked lifestyle. Into the arms of the Savior let us run to hide. He is our cleanser from sin. Jesus is our strength to fight temptation. He is our protector from the evil one who constantly assails us. You know, it's quite interesting what appears in newspapers from time to time. A newspaper story recently reported that some husbands call home in order to lie to their wives by telling them they will be late for dinner due to office work. Phone booths are now available at some bars, which provide special sound effects in order to convince wives who are at home that their husbands are at the car repair or at an airport or some other place. The newspaper tells that one man who tried to use such a booth to lie to his wife, telling her he would be late for Thanksgiving dinner, was in for a very unusual surprise. He was shocked to see his own wife standing in line, ready to use the same telephone. Why is it then that there is such a casual attitude among some people about lying today? Possibly, they have adopted the attitude of a California-based cult leader who was quoted in the newspaper as saying, "Our religion permits lying, just like all other religions do." This man is certainly entitled to his own opinion, but he is not at liberty to reinterpret or to distort the Word of God. God's Word condemns lying in every form. In the book of Ephesians we read, "Put away lying and speak everyone truth to his neighbor." In another section of the Bible we read, "Do not lie to one another." Our Lord has expressed himself clearly in his word. Lying is a sin, period. We are all tempted regularly by Satan to deceive and mislead, and sometimes we all fall into these pits of the tempter. It is for this reason, my friend, that we need Jesus every hour as our fortress for faith. We need the blessed Savior as our bulwark against all temptation to deceive others. Oh, we need thy word, O Lord. O gracious God, to plant the seed of devil-defeating faith deep within our hearts. O Lord, we pray, be thou our protector. Be thou our defender. Be thou our cleanser and the rock of our salvation. Oh, my friend, in the hour of your greatest temptation, say with the hymn writer, "Through Jesus' blood and merit, I am at peace with God. What then can daunt my spirit, however dark my road? My courage shall not fail me, for God is on my side. Though hell itself shall assail me, its rage I may deride. There's naught that me can sever from the great love of God, no want, no pain whatever, no famine, peril, or flood. Though thousand foes surround me, for slaughter mark thy sheep, they never shall confound me, thy victory I shall reap." With this confidence today for life, my friend, go forth into the world with joy, based on the temptation-defeating and life-giving power of your blessed Savior, Jesus Christ. Let this hope and confidence be true in your life today and forevermore. Amen.